it's Inyana de Yoma. In many ways, this Limud of the Kol is Inyana de Yoma. Also because the other day, Rav Amichai Eliyahu, a member of Knesset, made a comment that made a huge chilul Hashem and got it in big trouble. Amichai Eliyahu was one of those far-right, Yoni, Sardi, Dati, members of Knesset, and he said we should nuke Aza. Why do we need headlines is enough. Maybe it's my Yehudi, lo yodea. He's one of those chavra. So Amichai Eliyahu, he said this.
I heard that.
He was fired. That he dismissed from attending for the cabinet meetings after that. Yeah, yesterday, that day before. I don't think any of the people in the news realize, but it should be noted that he's not coming out of nowhere. He's Rav Shmuel Eliyahu's son, Rav Harashi of Tzfat. He's Rav Mordechai Eliyahu's grandson. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, most of his life was at Tzadik Yisod Olam, Yurav HaMebiriyot, Mekabel Kol Adam B'Sever Panim Yafot. But when he was 20 years old, he was arrested and thrown in jail for trying to bomb the British and the Medina, because he wanted to fight for Otzma Yehudi back then also. He calmed down afterwards, and he became whom he became. But it comes from somewhere, Mestama, the Ritcha Deoraita that the grandson has, comes from somewhere. Last year, he came to visit Great Neck, and Rav Ben Chaim was telling him, "Ani zocher et saba shelcha, haya shovav, kitzoni," whatever. So either way, it's a great one. It's a wonderful intro for today's topic. When I got married, there was an elderly Rav, by Meir Moskowitz, who had a second home where my parents lived, from the Upper East Side, from Ramaz. So he gave me Shalom Bayis advice when I got married. He said, in your home, you make all the big decisions. Should we nuke Russia? Should we go to war with China? The little things like, you know, what are we eating tonight for dinner and where to go for Shabbos, your wife will decide. That's whatever the joke is. I don't know, the show notes, but he said he gave me that. So, Taka, I have the right to decide now whether we should nuke Aza. So we're going to discuss what I think we should do about Aza. But before we talk about my opinion, we're going to discuss the opinions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the great postgame who have...
I have
who have clarified for us, you know, what Hashem wants. So we're going to discuss what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind and what the Chachamim, the Dorei Doros, or at least the past door, because we don't have, as Rav Asher Weiss says, we don't have Sefer Milchamos David HaMelech. We have to work with what we have in Tanakh and a few Gemaras here and there to try to piece together what the Halakha would be, B'Sha'at Milchama. So given all that is true, I hope to spend a few minutes to discuss the topic. It should be clear from the get-go that I am not a firecracker politician, rabbi with no sense of time or place that I should be making comments telling people what to do. This is pure the lil mode, and we'll see where we go, l'maaseh, but most likely not. So can we nuke Aza? Do we have to fight for the hostages? Do we have to endanger the lives of our soldiers? My brother-in-law, Kovi Palmer, Yaakov Sidin Ben Yael Rachel, is a gunner on a tank in Aza right now. Does he have to be putting his 21, 22-year-old life at stake in order to save 240 people? There are thousands of chayalim. Their lives are at stake. Is it our obligation to put them on the line in order to save a few people? Can't we just nuke Aza, get rid of Hamas, and Shalom Yisrael? Why do we have to work so hard in order to free the hostages and the like? Also, there was a Gishmak video of one of these terrorists whom they caught, admitting to everything that he did, and describing what it was like to be working for Hamas and be in the Nukhba Brigade and go on October 7th and do all the dastardly things he did. And made me wonder, how did they get him to say everything? How did they get him to admit to all these things? So I wondered, Mistama, they tortured him a little bit and drugged him and did whatever they did. So I wonder, are you allowed to torture a terrorist? Are you allowed to admit of an interrogation? I'm not talking about the Hilltop boys in 2014-16 who were in 30 days in the Shavak Ma'asar. That's also relevant, but that's not where I'm going with this. I'm talking about non-Jews. Aza. Are we allowed to go pick up a guy, and we don't even know who he is, interrogate him for a day, make his life miserable, and try to see if he knows anything? Does he have to be holding a Hamas flag? What does he have to be in order to potentially permit the stuff that they do? I didn't know what they do. I Googled it. There's plenty of leftist information about what the Shabak and Mossad do wrong when they interrogate people. They work in a way that they basically do everything to you that hurts without damaging your body. They have special methods that they do use to torture you without leaving a scar. And it's well documented and well described by, thanks to the victims or the guinea pigs, whatever you want to call it, the Arabs who were taken when they were arrested. And are you allowed to do these things to any Arab? You have to have a warrant? You have to have anything? What are the grounds? Perhaps the first question will answer the second one. We'll see. Now, that's the basic rules of milchama. We have rules of pikuach nefesh, shin chafcheh, shin chafteh, tav chavah. We have various rules of pikuach nefesh and rodef and the like. We've been discussing at length. This is different. Shooting an arrow one way, and the AI of the cars, all the questions we've discussed until now have been questions of Yechidim and Rabbim. But not Rabbim, not Kol Yisrael. It hasn't been Milchemet Mitzvah. Now it is. The Rambam discusses how from a Milchemet Mitzvah, Hatzal Kol Yisrael, we learn from Esther, that we take things much further. And a Melech doesn't have to ask for Shus from the Sanhedrin HaGadol, he's allowed to go straight for an Milchemet Mitzvah. For Milchemet Mitzvah, he has to ask permission. The Chinuch is the primary source when it comes to this, because the Sefer, the Minchat Chinuch on him, when it comes to the mitzvah of destroying the Shiva Amemin, the Chinuch says that if a person who had the opportunity to safely kill, without endangering himself to kill one of the Shiva Amemin, is Mevatel and Asay. So the Minchat Chinuch asks, what do you mean, safely kill? When it comes to war, Mistama, people are going to die. Isn't that Derech HaOlam? Sakana is Dechuya when it comes to Milchama. So everyone picks up on this Minchat Chinuch, and says, you see, when it comes to a war, we suspend everything. There are no rules. Whatever it takes to win the war, maybe not cutting down trees, maybe not closing off Gaza, but everything else, we suspend all pikuach nefesh when it comes to matters of a war. I know Rabbi Bleich is not happy about how I said that, because Rabbi Bleich disagrees. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there. One step at a time. At the very least, it should be clear that the Minchat Chinuch is an acharon. And he's making a huge chiddush out of Akasha and Rishon. Everybody's working with this chiddush. Rav Shechter has a whole piece in Dikvei Atzom. Everyone has pieces in Chumin, and everyone on this Minchat Chinuch. So Rav Chaim David Halevi just makes it very clear. The Kasha is a very simple Kasha to be mitaret. The Sefer Chinuch is describing when you're walking down Amsterdam Avenue when you see a guy wearing a shirt that says, I'm a Kina'ani. And why didn't you push him into the river? That's the Kasha. That's the case of the Mitzvah Achinuch. Of course, if there was a milchama of Am Yisrael against the Kena'anim, the Sefer Achinuch would be mode that even if you have to be mistaken yourself, you also have to be mistaken in order to do it. So that Rav Chaim David Levi says, there's no machlokes. The Chinuch was talking about a case with just a yachid, not shot milchama. If it was shot milchama, of course, you have to put yourself in danger also. And pikuach nefesh would be nincha, endangering yourself would be nincha. So, but either way, Rav Kook and Mishpat Kohen, Siman Kuf Mem Gimel, and others use this Minchat Chinuch to say that Pikuach Nefesh is suspended Bishat Milchama. Otherwise, how could you ever endanger so many people, even for just the Milchemet HaRishut? So, really, the primary text I want to use, or texts I want to use to guide the Chabura today, are those of Harav Shlomo Dechavsky. I would say Harav HaGaon, but he himself will not let you say that. He always sticks to Harav, ze atoar sheli, Harav. Yoter mizeh ani lo mekavel. So with that, I'm not going to pile on more. It's abundantly obvious. You don't have to mishaveach HaShemesh. Rav Dichavsky is Harav Dichavsky, and that's all you need to say. So Rav Dichavsky writes, in whatever places he wrote them, it collected essays in Lev Shomea Lishlomo, the two volumes that came out a few years ago, and one that just came out in April, two fantastic articles that really cover our topic today. So number one, in terms of Milchama, endangering other people, triage, or whatever you want to call it, how to prioritize endangering other people, a milchama mitzvah starts without a Sanhedrin. All you need is a melech. So we should say the conversation is moot. Who is the melech? So if you don't have a melech, there's no milchama mitzvah. You don't have. How do you define the beginning of a war? There is no milchama without a melech. No ein melech v'lo am. There's also no milchama without a melech. Even that, the melech doesn't need permission to go do it. But no one said. The language of the Rambam is that a melech has the right to go to milchama when it's hatzalis yisrael mizatzar. He doesn't say that it's automatically called a milchama mitzvah. So Rav Duchovsky says, okay, but the Rambam in the end of Sefer Mitzvah says that melech is lav dafka. To be any moshel, any shofet of Am Yisrael is enough. So the Medina, whatever you think of the Medina, you know, Achav was the melech also. Whatever you think of the Medina is a considered melech. And when Netanyahu spoke, I think in 2016, 17, in the UN in September, He had some very, very rigorous speech, that very, very, very powerful speech that he gave. Rav Schechter came out of listening to that crying. He said that this is the Melech. He represents Am Yisrael. Whatever you think of it, that's enough. All it takes is the prime minister to say, we're going to war, and gamarnu. Rav Kook said this before Rav Schechter, but it's and Rav Zichovsky. But okay, fine. Anyway, Rav Schechter uses this in Dikri Hatzon and Hamidina Milchamotea in order to define Geula and having him and being Mamid Melech. Fine. And also, by the way, in terms of the Melech starting it, who gets involved? When is it called Kiryah LeMilchama? How do we define who are the Chayalim? We have a pasuk in Devorah. Devorah chastises those who didn't come to fight against Binyamin and says that they're Chayavim Mita. It sounds like once there's a Kriya LeMilchama, everyone's a Chayal, whoever was called. My brother-in-law on Shabbat, Ashvini Atzeret, had a message on his phone. I don't know why some rabbi told him not to check his phone until after Havdalah. Whatever. We checked his phone on Shabbat. He had a message from the army saying, Eitwata! It was a Kriya LeMilchama. From that moment on, Pikoach Nefesh was suspended. Whatever it takes to get him on a plane and go to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they call it a Tzav Rishon. It's for to be Megayes to the army. And Tzav Shmona is to come from Yiluin. Chora, once you get your Tzav Shmona, that's all it takes in order to give you the status of a Chayal in the Milchama. Of course, Rav Schechter says, Milchama started in 1948. It hasn't started, but it hasn't finished. But you still have to be considered part of the Milchama. This is Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. We'll get to that now. On to the topic, we have a milchama, we have a melech, we have everything started to set up our milchama mitzvah. Now, we want to bomb Gaza, go back to 2007 through 2022. We want to bomb them, but there are civilians everywhere. And Am Yisrael, for some reason, had this thing called Tohar HaNeshek. Tohar HaNeshek means that we don't kill civilians for no reason. We do surgical, strategic strikes when there is no one else at stake. There is an abundance of evidence that Am Yisrael did this for many years. Many videos of Chel HaAvir about to strike, but saying, oh, I see kids next to the terrorists, I'm gonna call off the strike, and he keeps going without dropping the bomb. Doesn't have to be explained further. There's plenty of evidence of this. So now this war, we're not doing that anymore. Yes, correct. The human shields thing, right. So that's the question. Can you kill them? This idea of Tohar Neshek, of not killing the human shield, is that a halachically justifiable concept? Where does that come from? Is this a Western idea? So, Rav Zichovsky, there are many rabbis who, I tried searching, I didn't search enough clearly, I tried searching around. There are many rabbis who say, listen, Achzarius is not a midah of the Jewish people, and Hayam Achlecha Kadosh, and a Jewish army doesn't act like a Goyish army. I couldn't find anything halachically compelling without the Hashkafos. Yeah.
Right. But in order to just make this, in the eyes of the world, as binding as possible, we have to
follow. So using non-halachic measures. Yeah. I'm looking at halacha right now. The whole chavura is primarily a halachic chavura, but then, of course, we have to make, Rav Schechter says, who makes the calls about the milchama? The rabbis? Oh, the generals make the calls about what to do in milchama. Of course. You're asking, what is the din? The din doesn't require you to do this. If you found another reason to do it, that's gezuntahe. But at least what the halacha requires is not doing that. So he has proofs for this, Rav Zichovsky says. It says by Molech, Natati Panai Baishahu, Uva Mishpachto, you brought your son to Molech, Hashem will kill you and your family. What the family? Why the family? Because the Torah Kohanim says they're accomplices. They weren't Mocha, they didn't stop. They didn't stop him from doing the Molech. And frankly, if you look in Targum Onkelos, it says, Uva Sa'adohi. Literally, his accomplices, those who helped him. They're also going to be punished because they helped him, they covered for him, and let him do it. We lost my video for some reason. I don't know why. Okay, great. Fine. Also, Shovech Dam HaAdam, the end of the pasuk says, Ish Be'achid. So Shovech Dam HaAdam is only a problem when you should be having Achva, Rav Zichovsky says, from the Nitziv right there on the pasuk. You don't have to have a Minang Achva with the other nation, with the enemy. So therefore, there's no problem of Shovech Dam HaAdam. The machlokas we showed in my Shechem, and Shimon and Levi killed all the people in Shechem. They were not the ones who committed the Avera. Why were the rest? Why is the whole city destroyed? Simply because they were complicit bystanders, says the Rambam. Oh, the Rambam disagrees. Okay, but the Gemara distinguishes between when they start and we start. In my Shechem, they started, so that's why they didn't make a mistake. Many posts hold like this Maharal and Gurari over there, that when they start up with us, then we can kill complicit bystanders. There are more rayas the davar. We look in Chelik Bet of Shlomo for more examples. But the halacha of Tichavsky says human shields are not of our concern. They are shutfim, and they should have been moche, but they're not. The milchama is not a time for rachamim. It's a time for winning. So we have to win. Okay, international, political considerations, like Svi is saying, could be different. In fact, if a soldier is taken captive, you don't have to save him, but maybe you should. Because otherwise, the soldiers will be demoralized. They won't, if you don't go after them to save their lives. So those things are important also. A soldier has to obey the orders and rules, whatever they are, regardless of what the basic halacha says, and so on and so forth. But at the very least, what the basic halacha is clear, says Rav Dichavsky, there is no need to be let go, or to be careful about human shields. Kill everybody. Win the war. That's what matters. Rav Shakti writes about this in Mikvei Atzon. The Milchama started in 1948, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, when Rav Huttner was taken hostage on the plane. They wanted to ransom him, Yoter Mikvei Damav. And Rav Huttner said, we don't apply the rules of Pidyon Shvuyim here. We're not going to do it at all because we don't want to encourage more winning of the war. And therefore, can we bomb Gaza? Can we kill all the Arabs indiscriminately? Of course we can. Of course we can. Is it coming from a place of disregard for human life? You know, we could even kill other Jews in order to do this. Rav Shechter is very adamant. You could even kill all the Jews, kill all the hostages if it means winning the war. If it doesn't, don't do it. But if it means winning the war, you could do it. Someone listening, Chas V'Shalom, might think that this comes from a place of lack of haracha, disregard for human life. I should just make it very clear. I can give Eidos Klirishon that I saw somebody tell Rav Shechter that his wife had a miscarriage. Very early miscarriage, just a couple weeks in. Rav Shechter burst into tears. We're talking about Maya V'Alma. He burst into tears. He said, every Yid is an Olam Malay, and Rav Shechter cried every time I told him in Hasidic about another soldier being killed. He cried mid-conversation for at least a minute. It's not coming from a place of disregard for human life. It's coming from halacha. Yeah. So we should take a step back and clarify. There are four shilas here. Number one is, can you endanger the life of a Yid in order to kill an enemy? Number two, can you endanger Jewish lives to save another Jew? Two different shilas. Number three, endangering a non-Jewish life to save a Jew, and endangering Jewish lives to save non-Jews. There are four separate shilas. The first one is very simple. Can you endanger a Jewish life to kill a non-Jew, to win the war, to kill an enemy? Yeah, that's called milchama. In terms of your question, can I kill a Jew now in order to win the war? Am I allowed to do that? Endangering a Jewish life to save a Jew. I see that they have a captive in the car. If I shoot the car, I might kill the captive. Am I allowed to do that? Yeah? So that's a machlokas. Rabbi Bleich, Rav Dov Lior, Chazon Ish, no. Cannot do that. Passive but not active. You're not allowed to take an active role. Rav Shechter holds the same dispensation, the same letting go of Pikuach Nefesh, and all the rules of Pikuach Nefesh applies to killing Jews also. If you can kill a Jew in order to save everybody and win the war, then you kill a Jew and you win the war. To him, it's the same thing. Rav Dov Lior's perspective is a little bit unclear to me because he seems to be Soter himself in two places. In Dvar Chevron, in one volume, he says the Shaila was, they're taking a soldier with them alive and you can kill the soldier to prevent them from having a captive. So he says, no. You cannot do anything active, only passive. But then, in another volume, if it's just a risk of killing the captive, he sort of says no, but he sort of says yes. It's a little bit not written clearly. They copied and pasted from the original Shuva, but they didn't apply it properly into the new one, so it kind of left me with a suffix. You can see it's the same words, but it's a different Shaila. So, whatever. Regardless, not everyone holds it's okay to bomb all of Gaza and kill the hostages. But at the very least, indiscriminate civilian death casualties is totally fine.
The way you're presenting it according to the sheet that you can is saying in order to save everybody, which we define as ending the Muhammad, so we can do it. So especially if it's not there, or like it's been going on for years or so, like what you said, the Muhammad's been going on for decades.
Right.
So even if we, I don't know, even if we carpet bomb Gaza, so okay, so now there's still Lebanon, Syria.
Right.
And,
it's a good challenge.
So like, where do you,
where's the line?
Or even realistically, what may happen? Gaza, okay, so they'll do something, and then in a few years, Kasher, something else may resurface. Right. So, like,
especially the leaders in Qatar, and they'll mobilize there and their services.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
like
a good shot.
So where do you draw the line?
It's a great shot. I don't know. I didn't follow up with that one. I asked him maybe 4 times. Rabbi, is it okay to kill the hostages? He said yes. But I didn't ask him about to what extent. Is it just the battle? To win just the battle, can you kill the hostages? Yeah. Maybe I'm overemphasizing this point, but yeah, what do you mean? Yeah, good? Okay, now endangering non-Jewish lives to save Jews. Killing the civilians in order to prevent them from being rodef us. So it seems like everybody's on the same page except for 3 people. Rav Schefter, Rav Willig, Rav Dov Lior, Rav Avram Shapira, Rav Yaakov Ariel. Go ahead. Green light. There are 2 red lights and 1 yellow light. The 2 red lights, Rav Yisraeli and Rav Lichtenstein, I only saw quotes. I didn't learn the Amud HaYemini. I only discovered it today. And the quote from Rav Lichtenstein about having to consider the loss of life and to justify saving a soldier, I didn't really understand it, but Yesh Ma Le'ayen, it seems like they're not on board with this. The yellow light is Rabbi Bleich. Rabbi Bleich says, I'm not Chas V'Shalom to say what Rabbi Bleich says in front of him without, but just for what I understood, Rabbi Bleich says, and there's no way I could possibly encapsulate everything Rabbi Bleich says in a few sentences, given that there's, even without the fact that there is more than one place in the literature, in the canon of Rabbi Bleich's works, that he talks about this. But then many dozens of pages in each place, that's besides the point. But from what I understood, in volume 3, Rabbi Bleich says that in discussion of the preemptive strikes, preemptive war, whether or not that's not okay or not, Rabbi Bleich has a sentence at the end over there where he seems to say that to kill civilians in a preemptive strike based on Rodef and Milchamet Mitzvah alone is not okay. In a preemptive strike. If the Milchamah is already raging, though, then it's okay. Am I correct in understanding?
More or less.
Okay, fine.
The whole point was to define that they comprehensive is not preemptive.
Right, but regardless of how you define the Milchama's beginning, on October 7th, it started, at the very least.
This is preemptive.
Right, so there's no Shaila, this is preemptive, there's no Machlokas here. There's a Hefi Timsi of Machlokas.
I mean, I understand some people claim the Six-Day War, that was preemptive.
Right.
Even though Moses was considered suing on the Straits of Gibraltar after war, since Israel bombed them first. Like we started.
Right. So we could argue about other Hefi Timsis.
I was there. Don't tell me we started.
other Hefi Timsis.
I understand that Block of Straits of Gibraltar is an act of war, but the left people that the writer referred to, others claim that since we started the first.
Okay, but either way, at the very least, in terms of our case, there is no machlokas here. Rabbi Bleich is on the green light side, at the very least. In general, there's what to talk about, but fine. What about endangering Jewish lives to save non-Jews? Do we have to have chayalim risking their lives for all these thousands of civilians to be leaving Gaza right now? Do we have to have chayalim risking their lives to protect Jenin? And other such places, I think the resounding no, mitzad ha'alacha, is a kulei alma. But in terms of practicality, you can't necessarily do that without the world screaming at you. So you have no choice. At least I'm correct in quoting Rabbi Bleich, Rabbi Schefter, and Aviam Levinson quotes Rabbi Willig as being of this opinion as well in Rabbi Jachter's book, Grey Matter 3. Okay, fine. So this is the roundabout way of getting all the halacha. Okay, fine. Finally, Rav Aviner is a proponent of Tohar Neshek. He didn't sign on anything. But other than that, in today's war, it seems like all the Tzioni rabbis have agreed to bomb everybody, Shalom Yisrael, no human shields, it doesn't matter. Now, briefly speaking about torture, that was the halacha of Gaza. Great. What about torture? And there's a whole political discussion about what the Mossad and the Shabak should be doing. And I found at least 3 mahalchim to permit everything. Number 1, Beit Din Makin Ronchin. Period. That's it. That's all you need. Midin Melech, Midin Bezdin, various Gemaras to prove it, Shalom Yisrael. That's really all you need. Rabbi Warhaftig, Rabbi Itamar Warhaftig in Tichumen, the founder of Tichumen, in Tichumen, writes that he's a Rodef just as much as he is when he's holding the grenade, as he is when he has the information about where the grenade is. When he knows where the information, he's just as much a rodef. Rabbi Bleich doesn't start that way, but Rabbi Bleich finishes that way when he discusses the ticking time bomb. He questions whether that's true, but Rabbi Bleich's maskana is based on the Yerushalmi in Terumah. Rabbi Bleich's maskana is also that he kifua ir. Rabbi Bleich also holds that passive rodef is also called a rodef. In terms of the guy in front of us, though, if he has the Hamas flag, vadai, there's no problem. If there's a suffix if he has the Hamas flag, so then we can invoke Rodeh, we can invoke Baba Machteret to say on a suffix we can do whatever we need to do. If we can kill the guy, we can certainly torture him. There's no shayla about that. But what if he's, we just can't tell. There's no real suffix here. There's no reyuta, but we have to find information. We'll do it with what it takes. So the fact, if he comes to the interrogation, he says, I'm not talking. So then you're not complying. You're not cooperating. Rabbi Warhaftig says, that's a violation of dinim. And Beit Din is empowered to enforce dinim. So we can torture you to get you to do that. We can to get you to talk. Yeah. Dinim. Yeah. Having a just system, talking to the police when they talk to you. And they interrogated you. It's a grand a concept of dinim, the Ramban says, applies to all Choshen Mishpat. Dinim, Sheva Mitzvos. They have to follow the law. So this is the law. Okay, but either way, Mimanav Shach, Rambam or Ramban, this is the law. This is the Torah law. And when you're interrogated, you have to answer. Rabbi says you need an attorney there. You don't have to talk. Yeah. Because I have the right to a lawyer. I have the right to an attorney. I hear. But man, maybe perhaps the Vart is that Mitzad Hadin, we need to know information to save the country. And if you're not going to tell us what you know, then you're violating that din. I'm sorry?
I don't need for that.
Okay. So what does Rebbe think you need for that?
Yeah,
okay, fine. So Rebbe like... Wait, no. No, I Rabbi Bleich said Rodeif's not good enough. Rabbi Bleich writes in Chelek Vav that torturing an innocent civilian to might have information is not good enough, Itzad Rodeif. It's Rabbi Bleich writes, you need kfiya on dinim. Now I'm confused. I have here, in Chelek Vav, Rabbi Bleich says, it's mitzad kfiya on dinim that you need to do this. Okay, we'll get back to this later. But Rabbi Bleich also doesn't go with the suffix necessarily, because if you hold like Rav Moshe by abortion, it has to be karov levadai, and an innocent civilian is not karov levadai. Only who like Rav Chaim Ozer is a little bit more mekel by abortion, so here also it's you can be more mekel. Okay. And the Rabbi quotes the Grah afterwards, but I didn't fully grasp what the Grah said, so I didn't quote him just now. But either way, fine. Either way. Rav Duchovsky, that was Rav Barhaftig and Dinim and Kfiya and everything. He also makes the point that people sometimes might have difficulty justifying how could you torture an innocent civilian or a potential terrorist? Isn't that not just and not fair? So Rav Barhaftig says, if you see this as like a logical justice endeavor, you'll have difficulty digesting it. But if you see this as the epitome of the war of good versus evil, then you have no problem agreeing that this is the right thing to do. And that was a nekuda that he made. Rav Duchovsky in volume 3 picks up where he had on volume 2 and says the guy is a rodeif, period. And you know what? We could have done all sorts of other things to try to coerce him to give the information. But the fact is that we are nirdafim. And nirdaf is not chayav lehatzil b'achar me'ivarav. We can do whatever it takes in order to win. It doesn't matter. It's up to us. There should be some pikuach. We shouldn't have achzarim who are in the Shabak and Mossad and become totally incapable of being human. That for sure we should have. But when it comes to our zuchuyot versus his zuchuyot, then we win. This is like the case of Moser in Taf Chaf Hei. That if he's Mizayef and the Melech is Makvid, then we can get him. He's a rodeh. And quotes the idea of Molech and Misadohi, etc. Kol Shegein be'et milchama, there's no limit to any of this. We can even kill Jews, Rav Duchovsky says, to win the war. Kol Shegein, we can torture this guy. It's not a big deal. And then he says the word about Beis Din again. Fine. Again, Rav Shechter would agree with all of this, the above, whatever is necessary for the war effort. There are only a few problems. A couple problems. What did he say? Okay, that also. But that also. Enoch Inami. But that his, it's his Pikuach Nefesh now.
No, our Pikuach.
I know, but our Pikuach Nefesh and his Pikuach Nefesh, we can't, it's not Doche.
Waterboarding. Nobody died from waterboarding.
Okay. And maybe it's maybe by Harani Yishal Ve'Azariah, by Nagduhu, I don't know. And you could argue that it's worse, I don't know. But just to come to a close. Okay. Okay, fine. Okay, so anyway, the only problem with the torture of art is that it might not be effective. It's nice that we can have fun, you know, living the video games. Or I think there was a TV show that used to be on TV when I was a kid called 24, where there was a lot of killing. A lot of spy, secret service-y, Mossad-type activity, killing terrorists and killing people all the time, left and right. A lot of double stabbing and everything. And I think Rabbi Yehuda Turetsky and Shalim said, like, it gave people the impression that torture works. I saw it on TV. It works. It doesn't necessarily work. People will say whatever they can to get out of it. They'll fabricate whatever story they can and convince you that it's true in order to be saved. So in order for the torture to stop, the guy might be innocent. And frankly, even if he doesn't fabricate and tells the truth, if you start torturing him first, you might be torturing an innocent civilian. So at the very least, you could argue it's a deterrent. If the terrorists know and the criminals know that they will be tortured, at least it's a deterrent. And you could argue, based on all the above, that it's justifiable. Yesh Od Male Ayen in Tchumen and other places, Rabbi Jack has an article, Amud Hayimini has a piece. I discovered some of this today, so it wasn't really fair to take the time to delay. I have to go back and read Rabbi Leif's chapter in volume 6 again. Ultimately, in terms of what's the halacha, should we bam aza, should we not bam aza, I relinquish my God-given right to decide these matters to my wife and the chachamim to decide. I don't know if Amichai Eliyahu knows that'll happen, but... I don't know if he realized that, but he also took it back. He said, I didn't really need a nuke, whatever. So, okay, whatever, fine. Yeah, mashi, yeah. The halacha. Yeah. Right. Regardless, the Torah should be a magin v'zchut for the chayalim, and we should be zochet to see. Is that a shame? Good. I haven't checked the schedule. Is Rabbi Black next Thursday?
I wrote down that Rabbi Black.
Okay, fine. Rabbi Black is next Thursday.
Next Thursday,
3:00. Okay. Good. Okay.
So I was. Rabbi Reese, the following Tuesday, 3:00.
So I mixed them up. Okay, fine. Okay. Good. So, fine.
I'm on the following week. Which day to be determined? I don't care. Good.
Fine. Good. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you.